Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I am a writer for the Viking Age Zone coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age, and we do this every Monday, the late week episode, right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And we're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe, so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Adam, with the off season over, it's completed. I feel like we need to revisit some of our hottest Vikings takes and recap what happened, because it was a very busy off season. So, as the guest, technically you're a guest, you're a co-host, but like you're on the Roman Reigns schedule, so you're here every once in a while. I will let you go first if you would like to drop your hottest Viking take.
Well, before we do Vikings hot takes, I just saw something, so it's kind of organic here, but Buster Olney's Twitter account has been hacked and he has 1.3 million followers. Guys, what are we doing? Stop falling for the you need to reset your passwords. Send us this to this email and fix it. Come on, guys. I've seen so many people. I think Pelissero got hacked. I think Peter Schrager got hacked. Like, a bunch of these guys with these huge accounts keep getting hacked. Come on, what are we doing? But as far as Vikings,
but I bet he's got a bunch of MacBooks for sale now, right?
Yeah. Discount,
all engraved.
Just DM. I'm gonna defer and have you go first.
You're deferring.
Yeah,
this is like NCAA 14 when I sit there and I look at the defend. Which way do I want to defend? Like, I can't tell if it's left or right or whatever. So,
like, it matters.
Hopefully,
you gotta
play with the wind.
Yeah.
You want the wind. You don't want a 25-hour crosswind in your face when you're hitting a 54-yard field goal to beat.
You see that? Was it Northwestern? It's playing like right next to a lake.
Yeah. They're playing at, I think it's their soccer field this year, because Ryan Field's under construction.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome when it's done.
Didn't they play at Soldier Field like a while back?
I think so. Maybe you're thinking of Wrigley Field, because they're going to play there too.
No, I feel like Northwestern, that used to be their home field. Soldier Field used to be there too.
Oh.
Yeah.
They played at Ryan Field. That's like one of my favorites on NCAA 14, because it's basically just like a hill and they put some bleachers up. Like,
when it comes to wind, that's why you just pick, you know, that's why you just do a dynasty with Syracuse. So you don't have to worry about that. You just play in the dome.
Play in the dome. No worries at all. Okay. Well, if you're going to defer, I will start with my hottest take, and no surprise, it revolves around the quarterback position. So I am going to start talking about JJ McCarthy, and I'm going to tell you that JJ McCarthy's development is going to be a patience rarely seen in Vikings fans, because I'm seeing the videos. I'm seeing, well, here's JJ McCarthy. That throw looks a little behind him. I don't know if he's making the right read there. Oh, he's making, you know, I think it was Matthew Collar and then Kevin Seifert kind of seconded it, but they're like, JJ didn't look great the first 2 days, but he looked better on Thursday. And everybody's like, oh my God, they took a bust. My God, if he doesn't beat out Sam Darnold, what are we doing here? We need to take a step back, because we're not going to know if JJ McCarthy's a Hall of Famer right out of the gate. We're also not going to know if he's a bust, because this offense is very meticulous. And I have examples for this. He is learning an offense that everyone has struggled to learn. Like as soon as they got here, Kirk Cousins needed flashcards his first year. Remember on quarterback, he's sitting in the truck and Nick Mullins told him, hey, record yourself reading these plays and listen to it backs and that'll help you.
He said week 8 against the Cardinals in 2022. He didn't. That's when he really kind of was getting the hang of it.
Yeah. And then we saw how he played last year where he was making a lot of the right decisions, but it just didn't matter because the Vikings kept turning the ball over.
Week 8 is what, 10 months after Kevin O'Connell got hired and probably hand him the playbook. It's like, here, learn this.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a while.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the only one. Adam Thielen, he said he was excited. He was excited for everything and very, very excited. But then his head was swimming when he was starting to, you know, learn the playbook. And then he wasn't so excited once he didn't get opportunities.
Maybe he didn't know the playbook.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't. The opportunities were there. He just didn't know where they were. Mm-hmm. He's like, there's no opportunities here. Josh Dobbs, a rocket scientist. Yeah. Like we heard all about, well, he can digest information super quickly. He's still like, well, run. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to run and things will happen. So you look at Sam Darnold right now. He is using poker chips to kind of learn the offense. He's doing dropbacks in his apartment, which I feel bad for his neighbors downstairs. Just like over and over and over again. But we have to learn. Why would J.J. McCarthy know this offense by heart and know the right decisions to make? A 21-year-old coming out of Michigan, which was a run-first offense, this is going to take time. And I think it's going to take so much time, and I've said this before, I could see the Vikings doing everything in their power to make sure he doesn't see the field in 2024. And I know a lot of you are just like, oh, well, then he's a bust then. Like Trey Lance didn't get out there right away and they wouldn't play him. I know Sam Darnold makes people's skin crawl a little bit because he's one of the biggest busts in NFL history as of right now. But I think the Vikings can win 10 games with Sam Darnold. They won 2 games with Josh Dobbs last year. Nick Mullins averaged 370 yards in his 3 starts. Now he turned the ball over a lot. Let's not ignore that. But I mean, Kevin O'Connell could rewire Sam Darnold's brain. He could buy them time. And if JJ McCarthy doesn't start in week 1 or even at all in his rookie season, it's okay. I remember when the Kansas City Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes. And again, that is a high level example, of course. Mm-hmm. But I remember listening to the Audible with Cecil Lammy and Sigmund Bloom. And they were talking about a NFL scout who was texting them about Patrick Mahomes because obviously he did not start his rookie year. And Cecil got a text from the scout that just said, he's going to be a problem like about Patrick Mahomes. So we don't know shit until JJ McCarthy sees the field. And I'm just going to say it because I think I have this as a take later on, but I don't give a shit about 2024. Like if they win 3 games, I have questions and concerns. Yeah. But if they win
then they get a 7 better draft games, pick.
Yeah. I mean, if they win 7 games, I'm not going to panic about it.
No,
it depends how those 7 games look. So I am just saying we all need to have patience with JJ McCarthy because this is going to take longer than you think.
Oh yeah, I agree with a lot of that. He's a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks typically struggle. Not everyone's CJ Stroud or Andrew Luck or RG3. You could even put in there. But yeah, so I don't really disagree with anything you say. I think that's more of probably what's expected of JJ McCarthy. But the patience thing is probably, that's probably the hottest take because Vikings fans, we've seen probably 10 max of the throws that he's made in camp, and half of them have been in mini camp and OTAs, and half of them have been in slow motion. So I'm not even going to pretend to sit there like I know how he's doing in practice from those throws. Or, you know, I think there was that one clip where he threw it to Josh McCown in rookie camp. That was kind of off target. Josh McCown, a quarterback, had to move to get the ball. And everyone's freaking out about that. But no, you got to take it baby steps. A lot of quarterbacks who have done well in this league sit for at least part of their rookie season before they play, and it's mostly for good reason. Sam Darnold did not, and here he is in his on his fourth team, third team, fourth team. You know, trying to save his career. All right, so that leads me to my first hot take, which is, if I can find it. Oh, here we go. J.J. McCarthy will start for the Vikings before their bye week in week 6. This has a lot more to do with Sam Darnold than it does J.J. McCarthy, I feel like. Last season was the first time in Sam Darnold's career that he did not suffer an injury when he was on the field. Now, this is because he was mostly a backup. I think he started that one final game. He filled in a little bit, I think, against the Ravens, because I think Brock Purdy suffered a concussion or something. But before that, he missed time in 2022, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17. Number of injuries, like sprained ankle, sprained foot, mono, sprained shoulder, concussion, cracked shoulder, scapula. He's been pressured 811 times in his career, which is 40% of his 2050 career dropback. And you might be like, yeah, well, he was kind of decent with San Francisco last season, so it was probably better, right? Wrong. You're wrong. Much smaller sample size, only 55 dropbacks with the Niners last year, but he was pressured on 45% of those. My point is, whether the Vikings make McCarthy the week one starter or Darnold gets injured, I think the rookie's going to be starting before they head into their bye in week 6. And I think a good chance of it's probably going to be Darnold gets hurt, whether it's in the season or in the preseason, because I think he actually got hurt, I want to say, with the Panthers in 2022 in the preseason, and he missed a bunch of time to begin the season. So it could even happen in the preseason. So I don't feel too confident about Sam Darnold staying durable. And some of the reports coming out of minicamp and OTAs is that he's been holding onto the ball too long already, and he doesn't even have any pressure on him. So we'll see more of that, how that happens in training camp. But I just feel like we're going to see McCarthy probably earlier than, whether the Vikings like it or not, probably earlier than they would like.
Do you think we'll see Sam Darnold in the preseason?
I think you have to. I think you have.
I agree with you. I do agree with you. Yes.
Because he's not established. He's not Kirk Cousins. It's weird to say, like, he's not Kirk Cousins. But like,
there's a lot of people who have said that.
Kirk Cousins was a starter for, I don't know, 6-7 years already when O'Connell got there. He was already pretty proven to be, you know, he can be a capable starter. Darnold has not done that. He has not proven that. He has not proven that he has a, you know, full grasp of this offense. I think whether O'Connell wants to or not, he's going to probably have to throw him out there to see, you know, if he can run the offense well. Because I think that's going to be part of the evaluation. If Darnold looks terrible, you can't put him out there in week one against, you know, the Giants. Like, the Giants is actually kind of a decent matchup to start your rookie quarterback. Like, it's, you could have way worse matchups than playing the Giant. So if they have to start McCarthy week one, I don't think it's as terrible as some people might think. I think there's ways you can protect him. I think McCarthy's better than Darnold at scrambling around and making something out of nothing. So I think it's going to be interesting this summer to see what they do. But I don't expect guys like, let's see, Justin Jefferson, Aaron Jones, Christian Darrisaw, Harrison Smith, you know, even guys like Metellus and Harrison Phillips. I don't expect them to put in the preseason, but I think you have to with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. Like, if Sam Darnold, if he's bad, but, you know, McCarthy's not clearly not ready.
Right.
Like, do they go to Nick Mullins week one? Or, like, yeah, it kind of puts you in a catch 22 because you're already in that meat grinder. I mean, I think Sam Darnold needs to have some success in order for J.J. McCarthy to succeed. Like, that sounds weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would just give you time, because, like, I look at, so, like, Teddy Bridgewater, he was fine. He was fine. He started a little earlier than they wanted him to. I think it was, what, third game of that 2014 season?
Fourth, I think.
Yeah, fourth, maybe. I mean, Christian Ponder, he might have been screwed anyway, but like, Donovan McNabb was the wrong stopgap, and okay, buddy, here you go.
Yeah, they went to Ponder because McNabb was terrible, and I think they were like 0-5 or 1-5 or something like that.
I was at a game in 2006 with Brad Johnson starting.
Yep.
I think it was against the Jets, and that was the end of the road for him, and they wound up putting Tavares Jackson in the middle of a game. Like, for his first action. I think Kevin O'Connell's going to try and avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah.
Like, people have talked about, well, he could be the third quarterback, and people have freaked out about that. Honestly, I prefer it. Like, if he's not, you know, ready to go, put him third, put Nick Mullins in there, because I don't know. If Darnold has to be pulled for performance reasons, it's probably
probably lost anyway.
And you're just like, okay, here we go.
That would be such a bad luck, though. You draft a guy with the 10th overall pick and he's your third string quarterback. Like, I know it would be you because you don't want him to get hurt, but like, if he can't be the backup to begin the season, then I think that you already have a ton of questions going into the season that you probably don't want to have.
It would be like, I think what Jordan Love was behind Tim Boyle when he first got drafted. And granted, you had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and he was picked, what, 24, 25?
Yeah, in the 20s.
So, yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not going to freak out over it because it could be, I mean, he could easily make the jump from 3-1 in 1 week. And
yeah.
You're like,
the thing I was trying to point out was like, it's football. Guys get hurt. Like, it's all fun to be like, oh, we don't want McCarthy to play, you know, week one or week two or week three because we'd rather have Darnold play. And it's like, well, what if Darnold gets hurt? Like, And I don't think they're going to keep Mullins. I think Mullins is probably going to want to be a number two somewhere, and I don't know if the Vikings are going to do that. So I think they might try and trade him or I don't know, release him, waive him or whatever before the season. Because I think Jaren Hall, they'd rather probably want to see if they can still develop him, keep him on the practice squad. He's cheaper anyways.
A funny story about Jaren Hall, I was doing an article for Zone Coverage this morning, and I went back in time and looked at some of the Jaren Hall preseason articles from last spring.
I think I wrote about if he could be the next Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that didn't pan out, did it?
Maybe in the Falcons game.
What's that?
Maybe in the Falcons game, it looked like possibly
the drive of his life.
He did
in the Falcons game, and then the start of his nightmares.
Yeah, I don't know what happened against the Packers.
It's not a good sign when you're 25 coming into the NFL. I'll just put it.
Whoa, don't tell the Bo Nix.
Yeah, that's a whole nother talker. How about we move on to the second take?
Okay.
I'm going to talk about the running back because I know this is a pass first offense and Kevin O'Connell wants to sling the ball all over the place. I'm still not sold on the Vikings running. And I know they got Aaron Jones. People probably have him in their fantasy football league and he's done a really good job for them over the years, but he's got some warning signs. He's going to be 30 in December, which is basically like old Yeller territory for running backs. Like, we love you, boy, but it's time to go. And then there's a very extensive injury history, most notably in the past couple of years, dating back to 2021. I have it listed right here. August 2021, a hamstring sprain. November 2021, an MCL sprain. January 2022, a knee strain. Not a sprain, a strain. November 2022, an ankle sprain. September 2023, hamstring pull. November 2023, MCL sprain. He's good enough to get the job done. And we saw that at the end of last year when he led the NFL in rushing. I think it was the last 4 weeks. And then he had back-to-back 100-yard games in the playoffs. But he's got to stay on the field to help this team. Right. And I think Nick put it best when Nick Marty, when we had him on the other day, he said, you're probably getting 12 games out of him. And I mean, every running back's going to get banged up. But when I look at who is behind Aaron Jones, I get nervous because Ty Chandler, everybody loves Ty Chandler, right? It's everybody's breakout fantasy star of 2024. You think I got annoyed at the Justin Jefferson videos? Wait until you see the fantasy football
and the videos. Alex Madison ones last year too.
Yeah Go back and watch those.
He's gonna lead the league in rushing.
Oh my god Evan Silva just I liked his odds, and I mean, betting is different than fantasy football.
It is. But
I do remember them making a video of Alexander Madison as Alexander Hamilton and saying I'm gonna get my chance, just you wait. He didn't score. How many touchdowns are you going to score this year, Alexander? I don't know how it works.
Zero.
But I'm not going to score one. I'm going to have a receiving touchdown in week one, and that's going to be it. So don't draft me.
They would have been better off burning their money.
A lot of people light their money on fire in fantasy football, but I'm sure you'll see a couple about Ty Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron Jones, he's got that injury history, and Ty Chandler could be a breakout. You know, Harrison Phillips also said this week that he feels like the Vikings have two number one running backs. And then Alec Lewis also said Ty Chandler's been flying around at OTAs. big old hard on for the fantasy football community. Just like, yeah, I'm going to take him in the seventh round, baby. You know, people seem to forget that the Vikings looked for every reason not to play Ty Chandler last year. They gave Alexander Mattison 180 carries. And as we talked about, he sucked. They traded for Cam Akers before they put Ty Chandler in the game. Chandler didn't really get a shot until November either way. And they just signed a 29-year-old running back to play in front of him. Something doesn't add.
It's all pass blocking. That's what we're told. So he's got to work on his pass blocking.
Pass blocking and running left on a play that goes left and not right. But
he did have that really good play. I think it was called back though. I think it was the Jordan Addison throw him the ball. I think it was against the Niners where they did like a fake reverse or a wide receiver pass. Jordan Addison threw it to Chandler. It was like a screen and he took it all the way. I think it was a touchdown, but they called it back because KJ Osborne, I think, was like illegal touching because he touched a Niners player before Chandler got the ball.
Well, you know, if we're going to talk about trick plays, that's the next guy on the depth chart. Kinnay Wongwu, baby. Fast as hell.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah, master of one.
Master of none.
He's jack of all trades, master of none, except for being really fast. What is it, a 4.26 40? The new kickoff rules are probably going to keep him on the roster because there's going to be more kickoff. I got to watch some kickoffs because like I don't understand it, like how it works.
Yeah, it's weird. There's people say like it's going to keep him, but I feel like you have to have more quickness and elusiveness, I feel like, instead of just straight line speed. Because I guess you could just run straight into the line, but it's not really going to get you that far. But I feel like it's going to be better for guys maybe who are running backs. Or like a Cordarrelle Patterson who is good at just like making people miss in the open field. I think that's better because you're going to have a bunch of people like just right there as soon as you get the ball compared to just kind of gliding through everybody. So you kind of just got to make a bunch of people miss and then get by the kicker and then you should be good.
Like we're in year four of like trying to make Kinnay Wongwu an opening or ultimate weapon, right?
Yeah, I think he might get cut.
Let's look at his career so far because I want to point this out. Everybody's like, oh God, you got to get him more touches. So he gets drafted 2021, 13 carries in his rookie year. By the way, that's his career high. Mike Zimmer probably didn't know how to use him. Like, you use him as a gadget player, just like Ty Chandler, right? 2022, he has 9 carries. 2023, he had a back injury, but he had 5 carries. But he also didn't get a chance as the Vikings running game was non-existent. And, you know, the Vikings talked him up at OTAs last year saying, hey, you know, we're going to try and get him, some touches in the passing game or whatever. That didn't happen either. Then you have Dwayne.
He's the new version of Anthony Barr is going to be a pass rusher.
Yeah. We're going to rush him off the edge.
Yeah.
2 practices later. Yeah, we're not doing that. Then you have Dwayne McBride behind him, who, I mean, Kwesi might not have wanted to come out and be like, we had a starter grade on him because he's kind of got egg on his face there.
But I don't know. I think the jury's still out on him. I would like
it should be.
Yeah.
I would put him ahead of Wongwu.
Yeah, we literally have no idea. And he was good in college.
Yeah.
Where Wongwu wasn't even really good in college. Like, Iowa State, he was with, who was?
Brees Hall.
Montgomery? Brees Hall.
Yeah.
He was mostly drafted because of his athletic traits.
I think he was behind both.
Montgomery first.
Montgomery and Brees Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a very logical reason why he didn't get carries, but.
Yeah. Well, if he was good, he probably would have got carries. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, when you're talking, I was thinking about that 2021 draft, which turned out to be Spielman's last. They got Darisaw and Bynum, but a lot of those picks fucking terrible.
Wyatt Davis.
Kellen Mond. Wyatt Davis still in the league, just got signed by the Browns.
Chaz Surratt's turned it around, but he's still kicking. But he's got to roll with the Jets.
Yeah, but third round pick, you should probably be a starter.
Yeah.
Can't buy him. And then, yeah, just that draft, other than Darisaw. So my second hot take, you want that?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with it.
All right. I don't know how hot it is because it seems kind of obvious. Maybe it's not. But I think the Vikings will sign at least one more notable free agent before the start of the regular season. And if it's multiple players, at least one of them will be paid at least $5 million next season. So as of today, June 10th, Monday, the Vikings have about $26.3 million in cap space according to Over the Cap. Most of the rookie class has been signed, except for J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, but I think their cap hits have already been accounted for. So the Vikings have some cash they could spend, and there's still some guys that are available that I could see the Vikings signing. You know, there's Stephon Gilmore, Emmanuel Ogba, Hunter Renfrow, J.C. Jackson, Calais Campbell, and Kareem Hunt. And there's a bunch more people too, but I just think to just be sitting there with, you know, $26 million in cap space, I feel like you could use that to help your team out. And like you said, I feel like there's a lot of positions that have question marks around them. I think once they get in the training camp and kind of figure out, you know, what they have, maybe after their first preseason game or something like that, they might bring somebody in, one of these free agents, and see if they can do better that position. But I think, yeah, they have a bunch of money to spend right now, and then they're gonna have a bunch next year too. And I don't think it rolls over. At least not all of it. So I think they should just use some of that to sign somebody to help them out next year. And they did that with Dalton Risner, kind of, because they signed him, I think, week two or week three last season. Cause, so they can do that again, or they could sign someone before the season, which is what I think they'll do.
I think the two areas where the Vikings probably need the most help is wide receiver. Because what's that? Yeah, that wide receiver three spot. Yeah. But they're talking like Brandon Powell's going to get it, which could work. But yeah. I mean, that third receiver spot.
What if he gets hurt? Or what if somebody like Addison or Jefferson gets hurt, though?
Right. Then you're really up a creek. Like Trent Sherfield, God bless him. But
building up a strong connection with J.J. McCarthy, I hear, though, in minicamp.
Yeah. Just like, what was it? Jordan Taylor, was that his name?
Yeah.
The white receiver from Bronco. Yeah. There's that. And then we're still trying to make Jalen Naylor a thing, even though he's never on the field.
Yeah, he was sick.
Something doesn't smell right.
Can't get an IV and get out there?
I mean, it is minicamp. But yeah, I do remember a couple years ago, Amir Smith-Marset off that rookie year, like, had the injury, and they're like, oh, he'll be ready. And then he got cut. So I don't know. Mike Zimmer was on to something when he said he can't make the club in the tub.
Yeah. Except for Floyd.
I miss those. That was a bit of a misfire there. No pun intended.
It's like, Sharif Floyd's like, yeah, it wasn't my fault. I'm in the tub. It's your fault.
Yeah. Not great. yeah. I would say third wide receiver, and then defensive line is another area I'm kind of concerned about. I mean, I think the offensive line is fine. Can that be a hot take? I mean, it's not my official hot take, but I mean, I'll point that out there. I like what they've done because you have solid starters. You have Darisaw and O'Neal at the tackles. Blake Brandel, they seem to like him a lot. I don't think his job is in danger with the Dalton Risner signing. I think Ed Ingram's job might be something to watch here forward.
I think O'Connell actually said today that Risner's competing for both Brandel and Ingram's jobs. So could be something. And with I feel just after two seasons, I feel like this coaching staff has a much better grasp on how to have the offensive line play better than the 12 years that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Spielman was there when they had no idea how to build the offensive line. So it's weird to be like, I feel confident in the offensive line as a Vikings fan, because it's never been the case.
They have depth too. Yeah. For once, like there's legitimate, like Dalton Risner could be a starter on most teams in the league.
Yeah, even if Ed Ingram is your depth, I feel like that's not terrible.
Right. So I mean, and then you have, you know, Quisenberry, as a backup tackle. You have Walter Rouse, who the Vikings just drafted. Yep. You have that Jurgens kid, and you also have Dan Feeney out there. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about the offensive line.
Cornerback, you're okay with?
Corner?
Cornerback, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those you can always add one more, right?
I think they've liked what they've seen. Well, from what I've read and heard so far, they like what they've seen from Shaquille Griffin. So I think that might maybe prevent them from adding someone else. Because if you got, they probably want to get one of the young guys in there, Mekhi Blackman or Caleb Evans. And then you got Byron Murphy in the slot. And I feel like they like Griffin on the outside. So unless someone gets hurt, I feel like, yeah, then cornerback might be set. And then, I don't know, I feel like Kareem Hunt is someone to keep an eye on. But I don't know. You said
he's been kicking around here before.
Yeah, yeah. And I just threw J.C. Jackson in there because he has history with, I think actually Brian Flores was on the staff when the Patriots drafted.
I realized I had a slip of the tongue a little bit when I said Kareem Hunt's been kicking around.
No.
Before. Whoops.
Chiefs, known for having dumb kickers, so.
Chiefs are known for having a lot of dumb people right now, but they got the kindergartner at tight end, and I don't know, he's like the model citizen on the team right now.
He is.
Like, there's he everybody.
He is. I think he got in trouble in college, and he hasn't done anything wrong in the NFL.
No, he's shaped. He's doing Mahomes pretty well for himself, I would say.
Mahomes, yeah, Mahomes. I feel like Mahomes is gonna like explode one day though with everything that goes on around him. He's gonna have like a Tiger Woods moment where it's like everything just comes crashing down.
The Ned Flanders thing where he like finally his glasses break and that's the last straw.
There's just so much going on around him, and he's just like, meh, I play football.
just playing football. Here's my next hot take. Don't expect to see TJ Hockenson until November.
I
think Adrian Peterson has warped our view on knee injuries, because like now people just think it's like an oil change, right? Like, oh, you tore your ACL. We'll just fix it right up and you'll be right back out there. That's not how it works, especially when you tear your MCL with it as well. Remember
Peterson did too, right? I think Peterson did the same thing.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. The injury occurred on Christmas Eve. Multiple ligament tears. Didn't have surgery until late January. They're stuck with him for two more years before they can even think about moving on from it. And I've said this again, the future is more important than the present for the Vikings right now. And I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl in 2024, but I want all hands on deck in 2025. And that means JJ McCarthy in the starting spot, a healthy TJ Hockenson, maybe another draft pick, maybe a top 10 pick to tie it all together. And then just fill those holes in free agency because you got the money. And again, spend smarter, not harder. But I think 2025 is the year that you really look at this team and go, that is the beginning of their championship window. So I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl this year. Some people might disagree with me, and that's fine.
I don't think they will.
I'm just here for the vibes this year.
Yeah.
Like, just, hey, if the Vikings go ahead and they surprise and then win 10 games, that's awesome. If they, you know, if they win five, hey, whatever.
I mean, it's funny. You look back at like some of their really good seasons going into those seasons. Nobody thought they were gonna do anything. Like 98. And nobody thought they're gonna go 15-1, 2017. Nobody thought Case Keenum was going to lead them to the NFC championship.
I remember week one, 2017, getting Monday Sam Night Bradford football tickets for $50 and watching Sam Bradford just
50
like
bucks.
Yeah, $50 upper deck. Wow. And then I have the little perch inside US Bank Stadium right next to my friends where I can just stand and watch the whole game. So it's always great. But I was going to call him Sam Darnold, Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam Darnold will do the same thing. Just 49ers revenge game. Just that was chucking it to Justin.
That was Jefferson. A memorable Monday night, because that was Adrian Peterson. He was on the Saints glaring at Sean Payton, Dalvin Cook. I think he set like the rookie rushing record for debut or whatever.
It is funny you mentioned Sean Payton, because Pat Raynard, thank you for commenting, but go Broncos. Have fun with your asshole coach, but let's get back to where we were talking about.
I was looking it up while you were talking about Hockenson, and he's 26 right now, and that's when Adrian Peterson tore his ACL and MCL, and he was 26 as well. So that's kind of funny. But I don't think I'm on a limb here and say that Hockenson isn't quite the athletic specimen that Adrian Peterson is. So I think they're going to play a little safer with him. And he also has to block and stuff. So it's just a lot more that he has to do than a running back. Running backs have to block too, but not as much as tight ends. So I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like they probably want to get him. I feel like after the bye is probably when they would like to get him out there. But like you said, they're not going to push it. I don't know when's the latest he can be on the roster. It's got to be, I don't know. I don't have that off the top of my head, but I know he can't be on there forever or else they're going to be like, that's not going to play.
Right.
Because you have to be on the roster, like active roster or injured reserve, whatever, for so many games to even just like accrue an actual season in the NFL. I think it's six.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was not out there. And like you said, it doesn't matter. And reports out of minicamp are saying that what's the dude from the Packers and Bears?
Robert Tonyan.
He's just catching everything out there. So we'll see how that goes.
Big fun Bobby just out there holding it down for the Vikings.
All right. My final hot take. I think this one actually might be. The Vikings will finish with a better record next season than the Bears and the Lions. For whatever reason, this offseason, the Vikings have been like the favorite pick by some members of the media to just like be one of the worst teams in the NFL, and it doesn't make a ton of sense. A lot of these predictions don't really have any like logic or facts or anything behind them. A bunch of them is like, oh, they're due for a bad season. That doesn't make any sense at all. And I don't think they've won less than seven games since like 2013. So it's not how things go. And in order for them to have like a really bad season, I feel like half their roster would have to get hurt. Which you know, it's possible in the game of football, but what do you?
Well, no, I was just about to say they're like they're due for a bad season. It's like, did you watch this team last year?
That was a bad season.
that's the thing, they didn't. So I mean, that's part of it. But you know, it's like your quarterback went down, your best receiver went down. Not only that, but the face of your franchise went down. You fumbled the ball all over the goddamn place.
Couldn't run the ball.
Couldn't run the ball. You know, every late game decision backfired. Like it was basically the complete opposite of 2022.
And they won seven games.
Yeah.
Do I think the Packers are going to be good next season? Yes, I do. They've been pretty good under Matt LaFleur pretty much every season. And I think their defense is going to be really good. Almost every player on their starting defense was drafted in the first round, which is nuts. Do I think the Lions are going to have a better record than the Vikings? No, I don't. It was fun last season. Everyone was like, hooray, they don't suck for like the first time in three decades. But now they have to play a first place schedule. They're going to have a target on their back because people are going to be like, oh, this is the Lions. They're supposed to be like this, you know, this team with all the hype. We'll see about that and we'll beat them. They have a bye in week five. They have road games against the Cowboys, Packers, Texans, and Niners. And then after their bye, they have a stretch where they play five of seven games on the road. And then two of their final three games are also on the road, including one against the Niners on Monday night. Also, their defense, which they added some players to, but they still have the same defensive coordinator. Only six teams allowed more points per drive than the Lions defense last season. So great job bringing back that guy. I'll see how that goes. Ben Johnson, great offensive coordinator. I will give them that. Ben Johnson's very good at what he does. Probably should have left for a head coaching job, but stayed for some reason. But that offense can only score so many points, you know, if the defense continues to just let the other team score at will. So I don't really feel good about the Lions next season. And just, you know, general football injuries. Usually they were pretty healthy last year, and I feel like just that stuff kind of catches up to teams. And Jamison Williams, still not going to be good. Then the Bears, like they're like this year's offseason champion. Usually it's like the Jaguars or somebody, but the Bears, you know, they added some star rookies and traded for a, you know, 45-year-old wide receiver and signed a running back who's been on three teams in the last 3 years. And apparently they're ready to go. They replaced Justin Fields. I will give them that, but they replaced him with a rookie. And, you know, as good as some, you know, as CJ Stroud was, like I mentioned earlier, Andrew Luck was, rookie quarterback struggle. And he's starting his career with a franchise that is just known to be a colossal dumpster fire for quarterbacks. Whatever reason, people, you know, who play quarterback just forget how to do it when they put a Bears helmet on. It's never worked out. Maybe it'll be different with him, but the odds are against Williams, you know, immediately turning into Patrick Mahomes next season, and I'm going to side with the odds. The Bears have a tough schedule too. You know, I think they could actually start off well. They play the Colts, Panthers, Commanders, Cardinals, and Patriots within their first eight games, but then they finish up with four of their final six on the road against the Lions, Niners, Vikings, and Pack. I could see them winning seven games next year, but I think the Vikings will win more than seven because they won seven games last year with Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins as their quarterback for half the season. So
I think I had a 7-10 prediction
back. And I think I was 8-9. I think I had 8-9.
Yeah. So I don't. Do you think the Vikings are a playoff team?
You know, I think they would be if J.J. McCarthy starts.
Like if it like starts week one or starts midway through the season?
Within the first quarter of games. So like first month probably.
Okay.
Because I think that's a time when you can be bad and then get things back up.
Right.
But I think they're going to have kind of like, you know, like the Eagles when Jalen Hurts was the starter. You can look at the Texans last year when he was the starter. I think they're going to have that kind of season where like even the Rams where like they weren't supposed to be good last year. And they squeaked in the playoffs. I think
look at the Packers too.
Yeah, right. That's the type of season I think they're going to have next year. Because I think they have too much talent to be terrible. Like that's what everyone they're like. They're gonna be one of the worst teams. Like why? They have the best receiver in the NFL.
I think it's the Darnold effect. Mm-hmm. I really think it's that name association where, well, you went from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold, and therefore you're gonna be terrible. Which I also don't think that, you know, I mean, the Kirk thing's not as big as people think. Can that be a hot take? I know you put Kirk on the graphic. We haven't even talked about Kirk, so I'll go off on Kirk. Vikings won't miss Kirk Cousins at all.
No.
Like, he was back in town, and for good reason, he was doing a youth camp, so I'm not slamming him for that. But there was an interview with Kara Levin, and he's like, you know, this place, a lot of memories and a lot of people and, like, whatever. It's like, could have stayed here. He might actually think he should have stayed here now after he saw what the Falcons did in the draft. But I don't think the drop off is going to be as big as people think. Is Sam Darnold going to put up Kirk Cousins stats? Probably not, because he's not the quarterback that Kirk Cousins is. But you have, I mean, the infrastructure, right? I got done bitching about the running game, but if Aaron Jones stays healthy, that's pretty good. You have Justin Jefferson, you have Jordan Addison. Eventually you'll have TJ Hockenson back in there. You have a good offensive line, and this defense, they were a middle of the road unit after being dog shit Kevin O'Connell's first year. Brian Flores is back. He's got new toys, new younger toys, by the way, where he's got Blake Cashman next to Ivan Pace, who has the green dot right now. He's got Dallas Turner on the edge, who again, Christian Darrisaw's assessment was holy fuck. So that's a pretty good grade right off the bat. And, you know, Andrew Van Ginkle's got the Liz Frank injury, but that's maybe a little concerning. The safeties, I think the Vikings have some of the best safeties collectively in the NFL with Harrison Smith, Cam Bynum, Josh Metellus. Pour some out for Lewis Cine because he's probably not going to make the team. But, you know, you look at all of this, and at the very least, I think the Vikings will be traditionally what they are.
They drafted the best kicker in college football history.
Sure. I mean, if Will Reichert's an upgrade, maybe that helps out a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. Norse or Norsefus, I was trying to read the comment. Says Darnold can actually move, unlike Kirk.
Okay. I mean, you compare Darnold to Kirk Cousins. Yeah, he can move, but McCarthy can move a lot more than Darnold can, which is, and I feel like Darnold moving is part of the reason why he's gotten hurt in the past. So. I don't know if I want him moving because it seems like he's a little delicate.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, let me ask you this. Those whiteout uniform, what do you think? Uniforms are a big topic in Minnesota right now because the Twins released.
Twins released their Mariners uniforms?
They released, they look like the Rays, honestly.
Aren't the old Mariners colors, aren't they
blue and yellow,
Or in the old Brewers too?
Yeah, the old Brewers, the very old school, was like a bright blue and yellow. But Brewers got the best logo in sports, in my opinion.
I like the Vikings ones. I didn't think I would, at least the graphic that I think Antonio Brown put out first months ago. Which, so I guess he was right. He's been right about the uniforms. That's the only thing he's been right about, which I guess congrats on that. But I like them. I like the white helmet. I feel like the only thing I would like different is if the face mask was white. That's really like meticulous and specific, but I don't like metallic face masks. I never really have liked that style. I like a more solid color. But no, I like them. I like the all white. I like the icicles on the numbers. I like the different aspects of a design, like the Nordic saying or whatever on the back. But yeah, they're pretty cool. I think they'll look better when, you know, the players are actually on the field and the whole stadium is, there's a white out and everything like that. And then they'll lose to whoever they're playing.
The Bears. Monday Night Football. We're going to lose, but we're going to look good doing it.
Have they officially announced they're wearing the classic uniforms soon this year? I don't know.
I would think they're still around, right?
I don't know if they've been confirmed, because I think everyone's just assumed. So I didn't know if there was like another secret uniform coming or something like that. But
I mean, they're selling JJ McCarthy classic uniforms. So
okay,
here is that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I like him. The white helmet's awesome. As he says, his name is Norsefius, like Morpheus in the Matrix.
Oh, okay.
So he wanted me to point that out, but he said the white helmet is dope. I know a lot of people have been out here, like you've been one of them, wanting the black uniforms.
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
Hey, Brian Robinson wanted a black uniform. Okay. So it's kind of.
Well, Brian Robinson can create his own and live in his fantasy world. The Ravens wear black and purple. So, and I know there's gray in the Vikings uniforms. Gray is not a Viking color, but I don't know. I mean, it's not one of those things I'm going to freak out about if it ever happens, but at the same time, it's kind of like,
this is more of a rant than like a hot take or anything, but all the people that are like, oh, they're copying the Colts all whites, or they're copying the Cardinals all icy whites uniform. Those teams don't own the color white. Like, what? They don't have a copyright on the color white or a white helmet. Or somebody said, like, oh, they got gray trim like the Cardinals do on. Yeah, because it's gray. It's not because they're like, oh, the Cardinals look good and we'll steal it from the Cardinals. It's the same company making the uniforms. They're not going to do that.
But also, like, black doesn't work for all teams. Look at you just mentioned the Lions. Cardinals. Look at their black uniforms. Yeah.
I like those.
Well, they got black uniforms and they got the blue helmet to go with it. Maybe that's the problem. They gotta go all black.
And then the Cardinals, the blue numbers. The Cardinals have black. The Niners have black.
I don't think they do anymore, though.
Not anymore. I remember they had them when they played the Vikings 20.
Carlos Hyde just completely destroyed us, but yes.
Yeah. Well, Harrison Smith destroyed Colin Kaepernick, but they lost.
That was the game, I believe, TJ Clemmings ran into Teddy.
Yes, that was where he smothered him.
I think he blocked him. Like, just looking for somebody to block, and he started blocking his own quarterback.
Good old TJ Clemmings. That was who else has black uniforms? Did the Seahawks have one? No, I don't think so.
No.
I'm trying to go over, like, every team who had them. The Packers did not. The Bears did not. Panthers, yes. Falcons, yes.
The Jets. Saints,
yes, the Jets. Those are weird. I don't think they have them anymore. That was the Sam Darnold era. The Commanders have those weird, like, alternate black.
Those aren't very good.
Uniforms. The Eagles have black uniforms.
Those are awesome.
Raiders also obviously have them. Bengals. Do Steelers go all black? Sometimes they go all black. Ravens, obviously.
Yeah.
Jaguars. I think that's it. Yeah. So quite a bit of teams actually have all black uniforms and compared to all white. I think I'll have to go through it. But the people were like comparing like which white uniform is better, like the Bengals and the Vikings. I'm like, can they get on the field first? Can we see these? Like, not, you know, jersey swapped first? Because I know some people do a really good job with the jersey swap, but I just like to see them, like, guys actually, like, in their gear on the field, because sometimes that makes them, because I think it was the Cardinals uniforms that came out last year, and I'm like, these look terrible. Then they got in the field, and I was like, yeah, they're not too bad.
No. So there's the Falcons one. They're always pretty.
The gradient jersey that they have is pretty bad, but I don't even think they wear that anymore.
Yeah.
Even they were like, it's not.
They have, Atlanta's got that weird thing where they have two main colors, but they can't decide which one's their primary one. So, like, sometimes they'll be black, sometimes they'll be red. Like, the Rangers had that for a while, right? Because, like, sometimes it was, like, blue or Rangers.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the New York Rangers had black uniforms, I remember, like, way back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. What else was I going to say? Who was I just thinking of that had? Oh, the Ram. Remember when the Rams came out with their uniforms and they had like that bone color?
Oh yeah, the dish rag look.
They're like, this is bone. And I was like, they are like dirty. Like, why are you wearing those? And then quickly they're like, oh, I'm just kidding. We're gonna wear white instead.
It is a travesty when your favorite.
But team I think over the Vikings are pretty, like, in terms of like they're pretty bold. It took a lot of chances, like the white helmet and everything. And I feel like they're pretty good. And I've seen a lot of people from who like other teams are like, these are really good. These are really good uniforms.
Well, and I think for the teams that like bought in the Nike, like, what do you think of the Seattle uniforms? And we're going down a black hole here, but this is fascinating. What do you think? Because like I remember when they first came out, I'm like, those look like shit. But like then you saw them on the field, and you're like, they're not bad.
No, they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Yeah,
I like the throwbacks, obviously. But
like as far as teams that bought into Nike when they took over, like the right. Vikings have some of the best like modern jerseys in the NFL.
Yeah, even the new Broncos ones, I don't mind. Like people are like, these are terrible. I'm like, yeah, but they've had the same. Sometimes you just need to change. They had them for like 25 years when they won the Super Bowl in 97.
Right.
So sometimes you just need to change. They just got new ownership, so that's probably why, you know, they want to change things up too. And I don't know. Like, and then teams like the Bucks, who just put out god awful uniforms, and they're like, you know what? Let's just go back to, you know.
Like, there's a difference between what the Vikings did, where they're like, hey, why don't we tweak a couple of things, to what like the Bucks did, where they're like, alarm clock numbers. Yes. Browns. Let's put Cleveland in big fucking
and on your pants
across the jersey. Yeah. And Browns on the pants, right across the ass, just Browns. Nothing would be wrong with that. But
and then the Giants, their throwbacks this year. Why did they? I know it's like celebrating an anniversary and everything or whatever, but do you really have to wear that terrible uniform? They're going to wear that in week one against the Vikings.
Yeah.
Looks like they're wearing, they look like they work at Staples with their khaki pants and the red jersey. And then they have like the Wolverine helmet or whatever.
I've said this before. No jersey from like before 1950 should be replicated, or like whenever they started using like actual helmets should be replicated. It's like, just doesn't make sense. Like the Packers have that one.
I don't think I think the worst Vikings uniforms are the Farber ones. Other than that, I think they've had pretty good uniforms like throughout their. There aren't a whole lot where you like cringe at. Even like the super old ones were like the purple people eaters. Those are all good. Like I don't think they've had one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing with like their current uniforms. Like people are like, oh, they need new uniforms. And I'm like, why? They work. They're fine.
Yeah. Like
they're they're a good mix of modern and classic. I have no problem with their current uniforms. People just want newness all the time. And it's like, okay, go
look at the NBA.
Then the NBA, college football, what Oregon switches they have 12 new uniforms every year.
But theirs are cool. Too, right?
Yeah, it's for kids.
Yeah. Like, well, and I mean, the Gophers switched. Sorry, I promise we're wrapping up here soon. But I mean, the Gophers also changed their uniforms. I thought they had some of the best new uniforms as well with like the gold helmets and stuff. Yep. And now they just kind of went back to the
classic
19. Yeah, the kind of a classic cleaner look, which is fine. But I don't know. Sometimes you don't need to go back to the classic, I think. Like, why do we need it? Like every time a throwback uniform comes out, like the Bucks creamsicle ones are like, those should be the official uniform. Seahawks should go back to. It had its
You could era. Do a mix. You could do a mix. Like I've seen mixes of like the Seahawks current colors and their throwbacks. So you could do a mix like that. It's fine. Yeah. But yeah, we don't need uniform updates for like Alabama or like, you know, some other, the Bears. Like those are the Packers. Like just keep them the way they are. I think the Packers are getting a white helmet this year. They're going to alternate too.
It's better than a like green Packer helmet. It's ugly no matter what. Ugly G. But you know, if it's red and black, then we can talk. But
well, they can't wear green in Brazil or whatever. That stupid rumor. It's going around. It's not true. But
top five rumors about engagement. Brazil. Like, comment, subscribe for more. Ty Chandler, RB1, you're going to want to draft him fourth round in your fantasy league. Aaron Jones gets hurt all the time. All right, what's going on at the Viking age, Adam?
Well, first off, this Brazil game, the NFL, a multi-billion dollar business. You think they're dumb enough to schedule the two teams that wear green to go to Brazil because you're not allowed to wear green?
Yes.
I don't think
they don't give a shit.
No, they also.
How much
that's
money
true.
Is this going to generate?
That's true. Oh, Jalen Hurts didn't make it back.
Well, they'll just draft a new one.
Yeah. Viking Age. I think Vikings are wrapping up OTAs this week. I think I saw today that it's like players who have been in the league for 5 years or longer don't have to go, which doesn't include Justin Jefferson, if you like. But he's not going to be there. It's still voluntary. So I'm sure J.J. McCarthy will still be there. I would expect Sam Darnold to still be there. Mm-hmm. I think McCarthy's actually supposed to speak this week. I heard that somewhere.
Yes.
He's speaking tomorrow. This week. So unless they change it because they're hiding him or whatever. That's another theory that they're keeping him behind closed doors. No one talk to him. You're going to ruin his psyche. But
he's being stuffed in the Kellen Mond Memorial Closet.
We'll hear from him to go with Nate Stanley and all the other people they've drafted over the years. We'll hear from him and freak out about what he did and didn't say. And then it'll be after next week, I think, is no football practice until end of July, probably. And we'll be doing some lists of greatest Vikings, this and that's over the summer. So be on the lookout for that, too. But check us out, thevikings.com. Follow me, Adam Patrick, NFL, on Threads and X. Because they officially switched their URL now, so I will call it X.
All righty. They got it down. I am on X and Instagram at The Real Chris Jod. You can check me out there. Have some more time now that things have slowed down in Brookings. So probably a little more social videos for me. Probably look into that a little bit. But I'll be doing my thing out there, making people angry, making Wild fans angry.
Twins.
Yeah, Twins fans. They don't like me either. It's pretty crazy, though. That's all the time we have for the Viking Age today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day, but however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.